This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
And it's a Tuesday with Trevor Plouffe edition. Let's bring him in here from John Boy. You can find him talking baseball today. In a couple weeks, you'll see him on Bally Sports North. Very exciting. Play your theme song.
Too many places. Too many places. People are sick of me.
They're everywhere.
I'm everywhere.
Are you sick of Trevor Plouffe? Comment now on the new Score North Twin Show YouTube channel.
My wife is like commenting right now.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy stinks.
Can't he ever shut up about baseball?
For a guy that hated the media, he sure seems to be overexposed.
Last night, she's like, we were having dinner. We try to like have our kids sit at the table and eat dinner together. But I have, you know, MLB big inning on because I'm trying to watch as much baseball as possible. She's like, can you just turn the TV off? I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
Like I'm watching the games, right? I got to see what's going on. I need to see if Michael Bush homers for a fifth straight game against the Diamondbacks, honey.
Which he didn't
understand.
Which he did. And so, but that's the greatest thing is I say the same exact thing because she'll say like, I didn't agree to watch baseball. I'll say, it's my job. I have to watch baseball.
It's my job.
Like, what am I supposed to do? I'm stuck with this life. I chose this life.
I used to have the two TV setup, which was a great solution to this. You'd put like a Bravo show on and you can even get the volume. I just need a screen to see if, you know, Bush hits a home run for the fifth straight day. No. We only have
She doesn't want to watch TV. That's the thing. She's like not
oh, no
just
TV
wants
at all whatsoever.
Off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything you watch together at all? Like do you ever sit down and
Yeah, we do. Like, and so she has to be really interested in the show or else like she's one of those people that falls asleep 5 minutes into an episode. So if it's something that I enjoy and like she like kind of enjoys, it takes us 3 months to watch a couple episodes. But like every once in a while, she'll like really get into a show. I'm trying to remember what the last one we watched together. It'll come back to me, but very rarely is she like in on TV.
Yeah. So if you're this question for the whole room here, if your wife or in Declan's case, fiance falls asleep after 5 or 10 minutes, do you pause the show for the next time she's awake or do you just keep watching the rest of the episode?
For the show, if it's something that she is heavily invested in, I'll pause it for her because I have finished episodes before and I've gotten a talking to the next day being really upset about it. But I've told you guys this, which is the ballsy move, which I know won't last much longer. I know, Trev, you probably would also agree with this statement. I have some, when it's a late game, like when it's a West Coast game in LA or something, I'll start downstairs, but then I'll come up to the bedroom TV to finish the game. And that's when I see the eye mask come on from the fiance and I get a little roll over. And I know that those days are limited of doing that, but I'm just trying to milk it as much as I possibly can.
Yeah.
I mean, I do that too, and she'll be like, hey, I want you to watch in the room. And then when I do put it on, yeah, she gets a little upset. But I've been wondering this for a while, and you guys, if you can answer, I'd love it. Can't you, like, or why can't you hook up your headphones to your TV? And can you? Because I've never done it, and I feel like that's not, like, a normal thing to do. You can?
Yeah, I think you can. You should be. If it's a newer smart TV, I think I haven't done it, but I got to imagine there's, like, a Bluetooth function, right? Like, to connect
Me
your
too,
TV.
Me too, but I don't think there is.
I've never hooked up headphones to a TV. What I will do in that case is I'll just watch on a screen, like a tablet, or just hold the phone up with the headphones in. But, yeah, that is...
But don't
that is
you
a strategy.
instead of like, I'll watch TV. I'm sure you guys are, everyone listening's experienced this. You watch on the lowest volume. You have the subtitles on. When you can just plop the old AirPods in,
yeah,
it would make all the difference in the world. But I just don't think that's either not like commonplace or you can't do it. I'm not really sure.
We may have stumbled into like a weird loophole, like a business opportunity that somehow hasn't been covered yet.
I'm going to tell you this right now, guys. 30 years in, being in the same house with the person is enough. You don't have to watch stuff together.
Just existing in the same square footage.
She's in the other room painting right now. You know what she doesn't need? She doesn't need me to come in.
So you're saying the key to marriage is exist fairly pleasantly in the same square footage.
Space is important. I agree with you.
And at the end of the day, be willing to give her the better TV. She gets the better TV. I'll go and watch stuff on my computer or upstairs. And it's a nice one, but it's not as nice. But I mean, if you know, because if she asks me to watch a game, it's always inevitable, like baseball. It'll be like, she'll say, yeah, come in and watch it. I'll be like, okay, cool. The trap. Bottom it's a of trap. The second, is this done yet?
Exactly.
And I'm just like, I'm going upstairs. I'm just going to go upstairs. It's like, this is baseball. It's going to take forever, okay?
I've told Judd and Declan this. When my wife and I, we've been married for 4.5 years. We've been together for about 11 years. And when we were first together, and I had in the place I lived in, I had the two TVs set up in the living room. And I was, by the way, I was covering you guys as a beat writer and a radio host. So I needed to watch, like, I felt anyways, like every inning of every Twins game. So I don't lose track of what's happening. Sure. So I would we had the two TVs set up, and oftentimes I would have like a Twins game on one and then like a second sporting event on the other. Cause Judd and I, we were doing 4 hours a day of radio, just trying to keep up with everything. And my girlfriend at the time would come over, and we would, in my mind, we'd be spending time together. We'd be in the living room. I'd have the two sporting events on, right? But she just got up and left one time, and I was like, where are you going? She's like, well, this is dumb. We're not even like spending time together. I'm like, yes, we are. We're hanging out. She's like, you have two sporting events on and your computer open, and you haven't spoken in 90 minutes. Like, why am I even here? I'm like, well, we're hanging out.
That's what guys do. Guys hang out. Guys. You don't even have to say a word to somebody else. That was a great hang, man. Yeah.
Coach Trav, you're 1,000% right there. You just nailed it.
Yeah. Great.
Great
hang.
Seeing you. Great seeing you.
I love this show now. It's not a twin show. It's a relationship
That's
show.
Right.
I think we could work with
If they can't score some runs at some point, and if all their best players keep getting hurt, we may have to pivot to, you know. Now, by the way, Declan broke the news this morning. Matt Wallner down. Larnick is up. So Larnick's going to get another shot. Tony Kemp on a minor league deal this morning to the Twins. Super utility guy. But I don't know. Now that Carlos Correa is out, they're just – we said yesterday, if you can just, like, tread water and – be close to 500 at June 1st, June 10th. Isn't that kind of the win for this team right now?
I think so. With the guys that are out, like, you can withstand some injuries, but probably not to your 2-3 main guys that you need to provide offense for you. It's just Royce, I think, hurts the most. I think we'd all agree on that. Like, Carlos, a great start to the year. You know, him not probably being on the road with the guys in the clubhouse every day. I'm not sure if he is or not. I haven't asked, but like, that's a big thing too for the Twins, because he's so good at like getting other guys prepared for the game, not just himself. I've done what he's done. I think they called it the intercostal muscle, which is right between the ribs. I mean, it sucks. I mean, you can't really move until it gets healed. So I'm hoping that's only going to be, you know, a 3-week thing, something like that. Curious to see if he goes on a rehab assignment or not, because you don't have to go on a rehab assignment if you don't want to. I feel like Carlos might be one of those players that's like, put me back in the lineup right away, especially if the offense continues to go the way they've gone. So, yeah, it's been tough. I mean, right now, you know, the offensive ranks of the Twins compared to the big league level are just – they're pretty bad. Runners in scoring position, anything, anyone you can point to, they're about at the bottom right now. So it's difficult, especially when you're losing those guys.
The problem now too, Trev, is this. Offensively, it hurts, but defensively, the last two games, it's really hurt. Because like, you've taken out, I mean, I don't think, and we've talked about this before, I don't think Correa is appreciated, because he makes all these plays, and so it's like, well, of course he did. He's the shortstop. But then you put, you know, player X in, right? And it's like, he doesn't make the play. The hit that should have been an error on Farmer on Sunday. Now that's a tough play, but I think Royce makes that play. And Baldelli's talked about this for 2 days straight. So you're not only sacrificing some really good bats, but some really good gloves, and now your pitching's affected adversely too. So yeah, I mean, it's one thing to lose one of those two. It's another for the entire left side of your infield to be gone.
Yeah, and they are so important to the team, and it does create, you know, havoc in other areas, like you're saying, like 100%. Pitchers are, you know, whether they want to admit it or not, when you got a guy like Carlos Correa behind you, you're pretty confident about going in the zone. Hey, I really want to get this ground ball right here. I'm going to really make this pitch, really go for it. When you have someone else behind you, I'm not saying these guys can't get the job done, but there's levels to this. Like, Carlos Correa is a platinum glove winning shortstop. Like, he is a guy that can go and do these things. It just a little bit more conviction on these pitches. And it definitely means something not seeing Carlos back behind you.
One of the few positives, Trev, is Ryan Jeffers at the plate over the last week has been phenomenal. He's coming up with big at-bats. He's extending at-bats. The broadcast made this point yesterday that he made this off-season adjustment that when he gets the count full at 3-2, he's going to take. He's going to take because he doesn't want to chase and he doesn't want to put himself in a strikeout, which I found super interesting. Is there habits that, obviously, if you could multiply Ryan Jeffers over the last week 8 times, you would have the best lineup maybe in baseball, but what can the Twins kind of learn from a Jeffers approach? And is there anything that's like contagious that the rest of the lineup can maybe start to pick up on and start putting more bats on the ball?
Is that real?
That's what I heard.
3-2. That's not misconstrued at all. Cause that seems like a crazy,
that does feel like an odd strategy
to take on 3-2.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, no, I
know it's not a fastball count anymore. And that's basically, you can get whatever pitch at any time in that count, but that seems like a very odd strategy to me. I mean, when Jeffers is on and like the timing's there and like he's sequencing up, like everything's working, like he can be one of the better hitters in the league. We've seen it. He's so powerful. Like, he just needs to put the barrel on the ball and good things happen. We saw with a pinch hit homer. But that rule, I'm very curious to see if that's exactly what he's doing. I guess I should shoot him a text because that's interesting to me. I never thought about that before.
You're just going to text him. I like that.
True?
Well, I mean,
he's like, no, what are you talking about?
I heard Provis brought it up.
Okay.
And I had the game at DVR.
I'm not saying you're wrong. Provis is wrong. I just think that.
Provis is lying to his new audience, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Provis. Exactly.
That rat. That rat.
Guy gets a new
column
out. Starts lying. Yep.
Gaslighting up. Poor viewers.
Oh, by the way, we love Corey Provis on this show, and we are very excited. Have you worked with him yet? He's been on the radio side.
I've dropped in on the radio side here and there, but never like sat down and done a game with him, which is gonna be interesting because I've done no spring training, and it's just gonna be, here we go, Anaheim, get you two guys together. But I have such a good relationship with him knowing him over the years. I think it'll be good.
By the way, on full counts this season, okay, Ryan Jeffers, 6 different plate appearances. He does have 2 hits, both of them singles on full counts. He has a walk and no strikeouts. So I don't know what you can glean from those statistics, but he has at least swung enough to have 2 hits in 6 bases loaded or a full count plate appearances.
And last year on full count of appearances was probably his best split. He hit .348.
So wait,
he had an OPS of 1,500 on full counts last year.
You can't get a hit on a full count if you take the first pitch.
Yeah, I agree.
It's either a walk or a strikeout.
Either he made an adjustment where he wasn't going to swing at the first thing and then wasn't going to get a better one he wanted. I mean, the dude does foul off a ton of pitches too. Like, we saw that.
He does.
We saw that on Saturday where I think it was like a 13 pitch at bat. He had like an 8 pitch at bat yesterday too in a similar situation. So maybe.
If you texted him? Here's the text. Hey man, you've been really good full counts the last couple years. What's your strategy to be so good with the full counts?
I'm going to write this down too.
I'm going to do it right now. We're going to find this out.
Can we find out on the show?
That'd be great.
I mean,
I'm going to look. So he's hitting, it's a small sample. He's hitting 400 with the full count this year.
Hey man.
And last year with the full count, he was, look at this dude. I mean, come on, man. 348 with a 643 OBP. And an OPS of 1426, we need to know what the secret is. This dude crushed Ryan Jeffers with a full count. If you're a pitcher, do not go full to Ryan Jeffers. He will reach into your soul.
Okay, I will say this, though. In 2020, Two, he was atrocious on the full count. He had three hits and 36 plate appearances on full counts.
Wow.
So maybe it was an adjustment he made last year that he's carried over into this year after struggling.
We're going to find out.
We're pontificating. I would love to be wrong.
Here's another thing. He rarely strikes out on a full count. He only has, I love how this rabbit hole that we're down right now. 48 plate appearances with a full count since the beginning of last year. Only 9 strikeouts.
Well, Plouffe just texted him. We're going to find out.
Just got back to me. I said, what's this 3-2 count taking pitches thing going on? Corey mentioned it on the air. Do you know what I'm talking about? He goes, what you mean? No clue. So there's some miscommunication going on at some point.
I think Dex heard wrong in the game of telephone.
I'm gonna find this later today, and I'm sending an email with the clip. I will find the audio or video and send it with the clip.
This is the first time in Score North history that we've had a guy text the main source and get back. I don't know what they're talking about.
Instantly, yeah.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. So, all right.
Maybe you're taking pitches more on 3-2 counts. Maybe. I mean, maybe that's what it was, but I don't know.
I mean, he does draw a lot of walks.
That's some journalism
on
with
counts,
a capital J right there.
Heck yeah, good job, Jeff.
No, I mean, look, I we'll see what he says.
Yeah.
See what he says.
Can we text Joe Ryan and ask, okay, man, so your strikeouts are way up, your velocity is up, and you look like the number one starter that. It's funny because 2 years ago, we were talking about this yesterday too, Trev. People looked at Joe Ryan as, oh, this could be your staff ace for the next 5 or 6 years. And then they make the Pablo Lopez acquisition, and Joe Ryan has the weird stretch where he kind of hides an injury and he gives up a bunch of home runs. But this is kind of the version of Joe Ryan that the Twins thought they were getting when they made that trade 2 or 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, he looks awesome. He made some significant changes in the offseason. I think those are kind of well documented. You know, he's, you know, added velo to all of his pitches, which is mechanics based. You changed some of the grips, and then kind of, I think with all this data now that pitchers have, it's really like, okay, what's my plan? Like, it's not just like, hey, I got these pitches now and they're moving a certain way. It's like, okay, then how do I execute them? How am I going to throw them? What does this mean for me? Like, they really get deep into it. And with Joe, you know, look, his fastball has always been great. It's always played. Add some velo onto it. It looks great. You know, he changed his, like, split change grip, where that's such a difficult pitch to control, because a lot of times your fingers, I mean, look, you're used to gripping on your fingertips. That's, you know, you're talking about controlling things. You want to have your fingertips, but that's a pitch where you're going, like, almost chopsticking the ball, and you're relying on the inside parts of your fingers. And if you're not on a seam, which I believe last year he was not on a seam with the inside part of his fingers, then that's kind of just coming out. And now that relies huge on your arm angle and where you're releasing it. I think now he's grabbed the seam on one of the sides, and that gives him the ability to control it a little bit more. And now he can really kind of grip it and rip it. And now he's getting a little bit more vertical movement with this too. And then he's throwing like the knuckle slider now, knuckle sweeper thing. And he says he's able to throw it harder. It's not moving as much, but I think that's like, as a hitter, when you got a guy whose pitches move like all over the place, it's almost easier for you to identify them because they look different coming out of the hand. So if I have a guy that's fastballs riding here, and it's got real tight spin, but his off-speed stuff kind of like comes out of his hand and hops up, or like the spin is loose, like you see those things right away. He's throwing that thing a little bit harder and it's not moving as much, but that's okay. I think that might even be better because you're able to control it. And the hitter, I mean, you put a wrinkle in it and it comes out of the same spot as your fastball and just moves, you know, a tiny bit.
Is that why you don't see
the fastball course? It's difficult.
Is that why you don't see like the Kerry Wood, Barry Zito, big hump, like 12-6 curveballs anymore? Or is it just because those are super hard to throw like that?
I think guys have chased other pitches. You're starting to see those a little bit. If you're managing at the top of the zone a bunch, you'll still see those guys throw, but they don't come out of the hand huge anymore. They're trying to tunnel all these pitches. They're trying to make it look the same. And that's the point I wanted to get to with Joe, that the difference I see with him this year is his arm speed is like elite, like through all of his pitches. It looks like he's getting that thing and everything is hard coming out of the hand. And as a hitter, it's like, everything looks like a fastball essentially, because that's the arm action of it. And if you can continue that throughout the year, I mean, that's when you're going to see these numbers and these strikeout numbers pile up, because hitters just aren't seeing the ball well against him right now.
How much more, Trev, too, do you find from when your career started to now that pitchers refine more? I mean, it's always been done. I'm not saying it hasn't, but it feels like with driveline and things like that, that we have a lot more guys now coming back with different pitches, mechanics, adjustments, where it used to happen, but just from an outside observer's point of view, it didn't feel like it happened nearly as much as it does now.
Yeah, it's a thing that's changed throughout the game. What do we call like bullpen areas now? We call them pitching labs. I mean, I think the biggest thing has been the slow-mo cameras. Like the slow-mo cameras allow you to see your pitch grip, your release point. You have the data already, but when you can see it too, like these guys are making adjustments to your point, Judd, like pitch to pitch in a bullpen. Whereas prior to that, when we didn't have these cameras and we didn't have all this data, it was like a feel thing and you're relying on somebody else's eyes to tell you what to do. And now it's like, you can go. This is what I always tell teams. I'm like, okay, Corey Kluber was out there. And he's had, you know, had a great cutter his entire career. Like, you can go get Corey, bring him into spring training, track all his numbers and his grip and his release point, and then you can have other pitchers start to throw that same exact pitch. Like, it's that easy now. You have all the data, and then you just get in front of these cameras. It's like, okay, well, you know, here was my grip. If I tweak it here, it's just that precise. So yes, they're making adjustments at an exponentially faster clip than they ever have before, and you know that's why. Sometimes that's good. We've seen that happen. But I think sometimes it could be counterproductive as well, as you're just chasing and chasing and chasing something that you may never get to. But the ability to make adjustments at like basically light speed now is there for all these guys. And it's, I think, mainly because of the cameras.
I have an update on the Ryan Jeffers 3-2 count.
Oh, okay. Boy.
Oh, here we go. Hold on.
I love it.
Okay.
You texted him as well.
I did not text him. I don't have Ryan Jeffers'
Wake up,
number.
Buddy.
Here's what I did, though. So he had a full count in the top of the fifth yesterday in Baltimore. Jeffers was, and he was fighting off pitches. I confused it. Probus said that they were chatting with Kyle Farmer, and Farmer made a spring training approach that when he gets a full count, he is going to take. So Kyle Farmer is the one.
Also seems like an odd strategy.
It does seem odd. I re-listened to it three times
in spring
to
training,
really make
it's okay.
Sure. I had this right here, but it was during the Jeffers at bat, so I that's where I got it confused. And also, Kyle Farmer off to obviously a little bit of a rough start offensively, but Perk agreed. Perk said, "Oh yeah, that would be a good." I'm not sure if that is a good strategy or not.
Trev, do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I
Larry
do.
David. Okay,
this is
Envision in late October. It's the American League Championship Series. It's the Twins. It's the Orioles. Okay, the Twins have weathered the storm. They get into the playoffs. Kyle Farmer comes up against the lefty, pinch hitter, late in the game. Series on the line. Full count, two outs, bases are loaded. Just a belt-high fastball right down the middle. Farmer tracks it right into the catcher's glove.
He said he was going to take.
Oh,
my God. Oh,
my goodness. Hey, it's spring training. You could do a lot of nutty things.
That's true.
All right? I'm okay with it in spring training.
That's true.
I mean, you saw who was a Dodgers kid back in the day when he couldn't swing the bat. I think it was Miguel Vargas. And he was just up there taking pitches. And he would get on base all the time.
Yes.
Pitchers
so he
knew
like physically
he wasn't
was injured
bat.
Or something, and he wasn't supposed to swing.
Dude,
can we get all due respect to the Twins lineup, okay? But, like, it's not performing right now. Would you rather have Carlos Correa up there tracking pitches if he can still field at shortstop? He can flip the ball to the third baseman to throw over to first base.
Just
no,
to take.
I mean, hey, maybe we DH. Maybe you DH for him and let one of these pitchers hit. How about that?
Yeah, it's true.
Could see that. Yeah,
Trev, I know you're new to the TV stuff, but are there elements that like you really you don't enjoy doing? Are there elements that are like are still kind of foreign to you that you're trying to get used to as you've made the adjustment to like TV broadcaster from podcast, which is obviously two very different type of things? Has there been something on the TV side, though, that has been maybe like a challenge or something you don't like so far?
Challenging for me because I'm used to doing, you know, more long form where I can kind of like get to my point. And I've been told like I need time. I take time in my answers. So the time constraint, the pitch clock, yeah, and making your point as quickly as possible. I mean, that was an adjustment for me. But I just enjoy it, man. It's just so fun to me. I feel like so just fortunate that I'm able to be in the booth. So I hope that comes across when I'm there because I feel it. Like I'm like, dude, this is, what more could you want? You know, I get to watch a baseball game. I'm just calling what I see happens on the field. Corey's handling and Dick last year handles all the hard stuff. You know, as a color guy, you just say like, you know, I've been preparing for this for 30 years of my life. You know, I've watched so many baseball games, been a part of so many. So I just kind of like let that side out of me. I enjoy it. But being concise with my answers, as you guys know, now work with me, getting to that point was a little bit tough for me.
But that's what makes TV so great is that I can see what's going on while you're explaining something.
Yeah, we don't need every pitch. I mean, I think,
yeah,
so we don't need to call, you know, it's a 2-2-1. You know, I think play-by-play guys know how to lay out.
I can see
that
little
sometimes
ticker on the screen. Radio radio would be a pain because you do have to wrap your point up by the next
radio's
pitch.
Different. Yeah. I like I think there needs to be an even balance of that. Like, I still want a play-by-play guy keeping things on track.
Right.
You know, every once in a while checking in with the count, whatever it may be. But then more, you know, conversation based, you know, color, whatever it is, I think is important. We're going to try it a couple of times this year. I think we've talked about this already, but we're going to have just players, like ex-players in the booth, like a bunch of color guys in the booth. I'm not sure how it's going to go, to be honest with you.
Who's going
to
be who's going to be the leader who keeps it on track, or is it undetermined right now?
I think Morney might be, because I think it's like me, Morney, and Perk one game, and I'm assuming he'll take that lead role. I'm not really sure how it's going to go. I don't really like the Manning cast, and when Chris Young and CC Sabathia get together and they do their watch thing on MLB Network, it's like, that's not for me. I don't enjoy that. I know a lot of people do, and I know that's kind of what we're trying to, you know, to find that audience, but I'm more of a tradition meets new school type guy, I think.
We could also get like Laud, Smalley, go find someone else from the old school 87 and just talk about the game back in my day.
Smalley,
with a sweeper. There's no such thing as
Roy
a
would be good. Roy's Molly, good.
Yeah, Paul Molitor could be in the mix there. We do have
Molly's doing some radio stuff.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
They got him doing like reads. They've got him doing the like some of the ad reads awesome and stuff.
Yeah, the case IH. I was going to say to Declan's question, the one thing is the disclaimer. I've never really understood why they always throw that at the analyst when the play-by-play guy could easily do it himself. Like, it just seems like a pain in the ass to read a disclaimer.
This game cannot be disseminated.
Distributed without disseminated, the express authority of the Minnesota Twins.
I mean, it's just reading, you know? You just, there's a prompt right in front of you. It's like not that hard.
You take it. No, I'm not doing this. I'm Trevor Bleepin' Plouffe. You do it.
If you've done it, I mean, think about 40 years in the booth for Dick. How many times has he read that disclaimer and then he finally just dish it off? I don't know.
It was probably a prank. Like I'm going to have Burt Blylevin do it for a game and see what happens. And it just like,
I think Tori didn't like it. I always sense Tori hated doing it.
Yeah, screw this. Send it back. Did he make Tom Kelly do it?
Ooh, that's a good
question. We should go back and find the clip.
Yeah. I doubt it.
Richard.
Tom Kelly was my favorite. He was dry as hell, but he knew so much about the game. You learn something every telecast Tom did.
Oh, my gosh.
Guy's a baseball savant, man. By the way, we do have at least one. We have time for at least one dumb baseball question here.
Do it.
From Jeff in Arkansas on the YouTube comment section. And by the way, we just launched this new Scornor Twin Show YouTube channel, so if you guys haven't already, click that like button and the subscribe button. Help us grow this thing. This dumb baseball question presented by our friends at Red Cow Red Rabbit, not only in the North Loop, which is where I tend to frequent the most, 6 locations, 5 in the Twin Cities, 1 in Rochester, award-winning double barrel burger,
Oh, yeah.
Double patty, white American
cheese. I sat right
cheese
at that table last time I was in Minnesota.
Oh, dude. Are you a red cow or red rabbit? What's your preference?
What is that? I don't know what that means.
Oh, there's red cow and then there's red rabbit.
Okay, red cow.
Okay. We got to get you to red rabbit at many times. They got the wings, bone in. And the best part is, you may not think of this, but you can belly up to the bar and watch baseball. That's right.
Baseball.
Great TV viewing spot. Craft cocktails, 36 beers on tap. Red cow, red rabbit here helping to present the Scornor Twin Show. So this is from Jeff in Arkansas. Trev, do you think pitcher wins are stupid as a statistic?
Jeez.
Come on, tell us what you really think.
No, if a starter's getting them. I don't think relievers should get wins.
That was kind of, he elaborated in another paragraph talking about if a reliever swoops in, you know, gets one guy out, and then the offense scores a crooked number, and now you get a win. It's kind of dumb.
Yeah, I think that's silly. I don't know. I don't really think too much. I'm not like a guy that hates the win and says that has no value, although like statistically, I guess it kind of doesn't. To me, like wins for pitchers means that you went deep enough into the game to give your team a chance. Sometimes, you know, the offense is going to bail you out and, you know, you might give up six earned runs, but you'll get the win because the offense went crazy, but at least you're still in the game long enough to get a W. So that part for starters, I like reliever wins is, to me, is silly, but I guess you got to give them to somebody.
Didn't Jesse Crane pick up like 8 or 10 wins one year, like way back,
like with a third,
he just swooped in like 12
times arbitration,
in a year.
Baby.
Yeah.
But who got to decide though that a starter had to pitch five? That's what I don't get. Cause like if I come in for the starter and it's tie and I get an out and I leave and then my team scores, I get the win. But yet somehow a starter has to pitch five.
And like, let's say you go 4 2/3, no hit, perfect, but your pitch counts up. And then a cavalcade of relievers comes in. You can't get the win, right? Because you didn't complete five. But like, why does that guy get the win?
That's what I'm saying. It makes no sense.
Yeah, that's all this stuff doesn't make sense. A lot of these rules were put in so long ago. I mean, quality starts, didn't that change from 7 innings pitched, 3 earned runs? Now it's 6 innings pitched, 2 earned runs? Didn't that change like a couple years ago?
It was 6 and 3 for a long time. I don't know what it is now. But that quality starts is literally just, I think it was a baseball writer that was like,
saves it.
You know, I feel like, yeah, saves, but both of them are just 6 innings and 3 runs.
Right.
That sounds like a good outing. Let's name it.
The save is the best because it's like, if the tying run is on deck, I qualify for a save. But if he's in the hole, no save for me.
Yeah.
Classic baseball.
We've come up with a new stat, and it's kind of like there's already stats that kind of encompass this a little bit, but we call it OPS S+.
Okay.
I think that's what we're calling it. So say you get on, you're a singles guy, but you can steal bases. What's the difference between a guy hitting a double and you getting on first and stealing second base? So just add whatever bases that you steal, just add them into your slugging percentage at the end of the year. I mean, that your OPS should be that. You're getting those bags anyway. That's my
thing. For like the Juan Pierres and the Billy
Revere's.
Hamiltons, Ben Revere,
we would turn
those into doubles. We would give you extra bases in your OPS equation.
You're getting the base. What's the difference?
Minus the cots. Like, you'd have to dock for the cots.
Yeah, cots go down. Cots would take away your hit.
Yeah.
Or half or something. You have to develop it, but yeah.
I like this.
Incentivize stealing, too, which I love that thought.
It would. And with the arbitration thing, too, did you ever go to arbitration? You arbitration guy?
We never, like, went into a case, but I went through arbitration with the Twins. But
don't you have to know if, like, is the judge sabermetrically friendly? Because wouldn't you, like, if the judge is into wins above replacement and, like, you know, other sabermetric stats, wouldn't you present your case that way versus, hey, I got this old school judge. Sure. I picked up 10 wins last year. This is great.
I got your baseball card, kid. I was looking at your baseball card, the back of your baseball card. You win.
Oh, my gosh. So I don't think Terry Ryan, like, ever went to arbitration. Isn't that true? Like, he, like, never did?
It was a long, yeah. They tried to avoid it because it would create weird tension with the play. Because ultimately, you're literally haggling over. Think about, you submit for $4 million and I submit for $4.5. We're going to haggle over that. The payrolls.
And they're going to tell you why you're not worth that. Corbin Burns with the Brewers went through it, and it caused it did really cause a rift between the team and him. So it's
and sit in the actual hearing, or do players try and stay out of the hearing?
No, you're in the hearing. I think you have to be in the hearing. So you're like listening to like your side pump you up.
Can you make your case?
Tell you you stink.
My representation's been terrible so far, Judge. I'd like to tell you why this
objection.
Why these guys should pay me.
So, hey, keep submitting your dumb baseball questions in the Score North Twin Show YouTube channel comments, and we'll try to mix in. As the season goes, we'll make room for more than just the one in episode here, too. But, all right, I think we solved all the Twins problems here. We got Ryan Jeffers all straight
counts
with the full
relationships,
counts.
Televisions.
Kyle Farmer, Jeffers. Swing the bat.
We got firsthand, we got Ryan Jeffers.
What are you talking about?
On the show, basically, to confirm.
The last text was, I have no idea. I don't think I've ever said that. So he's right.
He was right.
And now he's going to Provis's room and pounding on the door.
I'm
going to
tell him now. Miscommunication.
You SOB.
I can't wait. I got to bring this up.
So, all right. Tuesdays with Trevor. We'll do it again next week. You can find Coach Trev on Twitter and all across John Boy. This is the Score North Twin Show.